The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Malachi 3, there is a mention of a book of remembrance. What is in God's book of remembrance? What is God remembering? Well, hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We come to you each day, Monday through Friday, and we're glad that you've joined us today. The Grace Evangelical Society is located in North Texas, and you can find out more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. One of the things that you'll find there is a free subscription to our magazine, published 6 times a year. It's full color, great articles, and you can have it by sending us your snail mail address and requesting it. It's free if you live in the lower 48 United States, or you can get it by download. There's a lot more on our website as well. Check us out at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Now, Philippe, I think you have a question from another one of the apostles.
Yes, from Thomas.
Okay. Big in India.
Yeah, it's a very popular name. He carried the gospel there, and many of the churches in India trace their beginnings, you know, back to Thomas.
And I want to say a shout out to Abe and Vanita Thomas. Vanita used to work here years ago. I see Abe and Vanita at Berean Memorial Church when I speak there once a quarter or so. That's in Irving, Texas. Yeah. And they're Indian believers. And I think they're from the south of India, where they speak Malayalam, right?
Yes.
The only language in the world that's spelled the same is a palindrome.
Forward and backwards.
Malayalam. All right. So your question is from Thomas and about Malachi 3?
Yes. He is pastor, you know, had been preaching on Malachi 3, 13 through 18. And he says those in verses 13 to 15, the priests were out of fellowship with the Messiah, and those in verses 16 and 18 were in fellowship. And that's, well, can perhaps read those verses. It talks about a book of remembrance written before God and everything. So he refers then to the whole book of Malachi. He thinks the whole book of Malachi is about fellowship and not about eternal salvation. And he asks, how do you interpret this? How do we interpret this?
Okay. All right. Well, let's look at 13 through 18. I'll read the first couple of verses, and then you can read the rest.
Okay.
This is God speaking. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, and now we're getting what the people say, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. So these are the things they're speaking against God. And if I'm following this, aren't they saying then that obeying God doesn't result in blessings, and disobeying God doesn't result in cursing?
Right. So what good is it to, you know, serve God if we don't have an immediate, you know,
aren't they saying that the wicked are prospering?
Yes. Yeah. And that goes back, of course, to Asaph. Yeah, why do the wicked prosper? But then it goes on about those in contrast,
right,
who do trust and serve the Lord. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall go again, discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him.
Yeah, and I love this book of remembrance. I don't recall that. Does that expression occur anywhere else in the Bible? I can't think of...
Not in those specific terms. Like I think with Nehemiah and everything, we have a book that is written of all those who decided to come and live within the walls of Jerusalem and the citizens. They're off and everything. So a register of names that is given. But here it seems that there is a register, particularly with registering how to serve him and then talking about a future prospect of, I will make them my jewels.
And you know, you could see how at the judgment seat of Christ, these aren't church-age believers, of course, But the same kind of judgment must occur for Old Testament yes. saints. Maybe, I don't know what that judgment is called. But at the judgment seat of Christ, we're all, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're going to be judged according to things we've done in the body, yeah. whether good or bad. Well, that suggests there is a book of remembrance.
Yes.
And it tells the good and the bad that we've done, yeah. and we're going to be evaluated for our Christian lives. And the same thing would have been true with Old Testament believers. Basically, what this is saying is God remembers all the good we say and all the good we do, which should be quite encouraging to those who are walking in fellowship with God, as even Thomas was talking about.
Yeah, even if they're not experiencing the immediate blessings of faithfulness to God,
they will get it ultimately.
They still will get it ultimately. That book of remembrance
right.
has kept note of and is keeping note of everything. And concerning the Old Testament, you know, we're told in Revelation 20 that they're resurrected and brought back, and the tribulation believers, and I think extension to all Old Testament believers, who are given rule to rule with Christ, you know, also.
Before the millennium.
Right.
Yeah.
And so their judgment is not the judgment seat that we go through, but they're raised up for their part, as Daniel is promised.
Right.
At the end of the age, he will be brought up.
Yeah, the righteous will shine, right?
As stars forever and ever.
That's a rewards context. What is that, 12:3? Daniel 12:3?
Daniel 12:3 and 4.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
And here, notice they're going to be my jewels. Mm-hmm. This kind of reminds me in the book of Revelation
yeah,
how the overcomer
rewards. You know,
yeah, one of them is you're going to have a special stone with a nickname on it. Another one is you're going to be some kind of pillar in the temple of God, whatever that means. I don't know exactly what that means. And being one of his jewels means, I think we're going to shine for him, right?
Yes. And so this is a service context, and I think Thomas is right. You know, a fellowship context, a service context, a reward context. And this is not a Lamb's Book of Life, but
right.
this is a book of remembrance.
Right. In fact, when you look at the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, dealing with the Great White Throne Judgment, not only is the book of life open, but there's books, plural, of deeds, these books of works. Those books of works are going to be books of remembrance for the unbelievers, which would suggest that there's a similar thing which occurs at the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, at the judgment seat of Christ, we don't need to bring out the book of life because the only people that are going to be judged there are people who have everlasting life. But the books of works need to be brought out, right?
Yes.
The book of remembrance needs to be brought out. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says that if any of the works we've done are burned up, well, then we'll suffer loss, but we ourselves will be saved, yes, so as through fire. And I take saved there to refer to being spiritually healthy. Because he's talking about himself and Apollos as master builders, and he's applying that to all believers who can be builders or master builders. But what he's saying is, look, not 100% of our works are going to be rewarded. Some of our works lack enduring value. For example,
that doesn't mean that they were wicked, but they lack enduring value, as you said.
Let's say I spend an hour fishing or 2 hours fishing, or I go play golf for 4 or 5 hours. That's not sinful activity, but it's also not work with enduring value. Now, maybe a few minutes of golf would be helpful if I'm discipling someone I'm playing golf with or evangelizing them. But even so, you could have done that a lot faster if you just sat down with them and spent a half hour talking. But okay, you can get some eternal value, but a lot of the works we do are going to burn up. And Hodges' point is, the gold, silver, precious stones were works of enduring value, and the wood, hay, and straw are not sinful works. They're works that lack eternal value. Now, of course, sinful works fall in that category, but even just things like watching TV or playing golf or tennis or, you know, I love race walking. I just did a marathon 2 weeks ago, walked 26 miles, 26.2 miles. It was 6 hours and 5 minutes. I don't think I'm getting eternal rewards for
so
that.
So that's not the running the race that is set before you of Hebrews 12.
By working out, I may extend my life a little bit, and that may get me some more eternal rewards. I'll tell you this, Philippe, by exercising, I think I'm more effective in writing and speaking and doing this kind of thing, because I'll be 72 here in a month. And without the exercise that I do, with the sedentary job I have sitting all the time, I don't think I'd still be doing this.
And even having the focus and the clarity of thought. Now, for me, you know, I'll work in my office at my house, you know, for a couple hours, 2-3 hours, and then I have to get up and I'll go walk around the block because I just need to recompose myself and clear my mind and then come back.
It's so true. Art Farstad, he was the lead editor of the New King James. He was on the initial board of Grace Evangelical Society, a good friend of mine. I think he passed in 98. And I remember Art would edit all day long. He was editing people's work. And he told me, he said, I can't do more than 2 or 3 hours straight. And he said, then I need to get up and go on a walk and come back. And he said, in a whole day, I can't do more than 6 or 7 or 8 hours. Because editing is so intense. And I find that true as well. Now, for me, fortunately, in the work I do, I've got so much variety. I edit, I write, I do blogs, I do books, magazine articles, journal articles. I'm editing different things. I'm speaking. We're doing conferences. You know,
I'm keeping notes here. I think I've lost count at 10
I've
or 12.
And then we do this, right?
Yes.
And so I got these various things, and they all keep me hopping. But I kind of like it because you know what this reminds me of, Philippe? It reminds me of being back at Dallas Seminary back in the day and having all these assignments from all these
five classes.
Yeah. Well, I think I did 4 classes because I went in the summers and stuff. So I would kind of slack off and only take 4. But still, I had to juggle all these things in seminary and I got used to it. And I kind of liked it because it was profitable. And I feel like that, yes, Malachi is a book, like really the whole Bible, that is calling believers to faithfulness, right?
Yes, calling the returned Jewish nation back to the land and to be faithful, but they had become lax.
And this was probably the very last book of the Old Testament?
Probably around 430, you know, or so, the last book of the Old Testament. And this would have been, you know, the return was the first return, you know, as the Zerubbabel.
Was that?
It's 538, 536. So we're talking about 108 years later.
And then we have this great book. And the only book, by the way, in the Bible written to the unbeliever is John. All the rest are written to believers. So I think Thomas is on the right track. I think that's a really good question. I appreciate it very much. And let's remember to keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, in the book of James, when demons believe in God, what does that do for them? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.